Oh, God. Episode 20.
20.
Yes, this is Anna.
This is Shereen.
And this is Ethnically Unboo-Boo-Wiss.
We're no longer teenagers. We're in our 20s now. Yes. 2 decades. Yeah.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about the disappeared people of Syria.
And how Saudi Arabia is a bully to Lebanon and Qatar.
And from there, we're going to break out and talk about what really happened to the Lebanese prime minister in Saudi Arabia. And is he going to retire?
And we're also going to talk about Qatar basically being fucked with because of a fucking soccer game.
That's true. And we're going to get into Israel's continued hate for Al Jazeera and so much more.
So much more. Please listen. Out.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Are we recording?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna keep that in. It's liftoff. We're episode 20. We've been around for 2 decades. Not 10 months.
20 years.
20 months.
20 years of this podcast.
I'm super dumb. We've been around for 20 weeks.
I'm 85. I started this podcast when I was 65.
What a young sprout.
Oh,
back in the days.
I can't tell if this is recording, so...
It's definitely recording.
Here's the thing, there's nothing here, so I don't know. I'm talking into the air, into a cloud.
Yeah, we had to move abruptly from our studio situation into this... We're sitting on an arcade game, which makes me very happy, actually.
Yeah, and I've never been angrier. I've already demanded we reschedule, and...
Anna and I are yin and yang, so...
I hate being bumped. That's my number one pet peeve in podcasting. Don't bump me from a lounge to a cubicle.
The lounge does have snacks too, so I think that's a big part of it.
And I would love to get into all my strife with this industry.
But we won't do that. We will not do that. Thank you for joining us on episode 20. That's 20, and we're no longer teenagers. We are in our 20s.
Let's talk about all the notes your father gave us on this podcast.
No, he's going to listen to this.
Well, he should, and this is my personality, is getting into the meat of what the Middle Eastern father thinks he knows.
Hi, Baba. Thank you for listening.
Shireen's dad doesn't think we give enough of our personalities, which is so weird, because I'm literally
our personalities
brain dead.
I think I tend to be a little bit more reserved, which takes me a while to open up, which is
really?
Fine. Okay.
I feel like you're pretty open up.
I mean, I don't know. Hi, Baba. Thank you for listening. Let's switch topics.
He also thinks we talk too much about Saudi Arabia and Israel, which just grinds my gears.
I mean, to be honest, we do talk a lot about them, but... Our job here is to talk about the weekly roundup of news, and it just so happens that those two countries...
That isn't discussed anywhere.
Yeah, that those two countries are notoriously in the news for shitty, notorious things.
Also, so, how is he... He's going to feel ridiculous when we take down Israel and Saudi Arabia.
We did that last week.
No, I mean, like, literally, like, the countries both go down.
Because of us.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's going to be like, oh, Shireen, I'm so sorry, you were right.
I don't want to talk about my dad. I love you, Danny.
Let's talk about my dad.
Yeah, I love Anna's dad.
My dad
and my dad
beat into me from a very young age that I have to invest all my money.
Yeah, okay. I just learned...
Don't get too into detail about my finances.
I learned some stuff about Anna's finances that makes me sad about my finances, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't sleep at night. So, there you go.
What?
I don't sleep at night. That's how intense my father raised me. I don't sleep at night. I wake up at 4 a.m. and I look at Market Watch and say, oh, well, market's open. What's up?
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't sleep, Shireen. Okay. I wake up at 4. My boyfriend's like, your phone light's too bright. And I'm like, you shut the fuck up.
Wow. Zach's a baby.
Yeah. Oh, don't say his name on here.
Oops.
I'm just joking. Hi, Zach. You owe me money. And no, I'm just joking. He doesn't owe me money. He does owe me love, though.
Oh, relationships. Who needs them? So, yeah, we, as always, are going to talk about some news and other stuff.
That's right. News and other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to get into too much detail about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Because I have a certain family member who's there right now on pilgrimage to Hajjaj, Mecca Hajj.
So I think it's wise to...
I just am not going to fuck around until they're out of the country safely.
Yeah, I think it's wise. You can refrain from that.
Because I know I'm cocky enough to believe that someone would be arrested because of me, but like... I don't know. Based off all the news.
Yeah. I mean, like, the fucking Prince of Saudi Arabia or whatever puts people in a hotel prison when they talk shit about him, so...
God, hotel prison. That's what I need right now. What? My place is... Oh, God. My cat is so floofy.
I love
cat hair
cat.
Everywhere.
Trims.
I would love for someone to arrest me and put me in a Ritz-Carlton right now, or it's clean and not...
Don't say that too loud. Saudi Arabia will hear you and come after you. Anna's cat is very cute. He is...
Let's start calling him by what he is. My human son.
Human son?
What? Sorry, I don't know. Oh my God, my boyfriend said the cutest thing the other day. I was like, we're both your babies. And he was like, yeah, you guys are my twins. I gave birth to you. And then I was like, oh my God, we're
twins!
Ew,
what the fuck?
Yeah, we smoke a lot of weed.
That's not
good. We're losing our minds. Don't.
That makes me want to die.
Why? That I was born from my...
Never want to have a
relationship ever. Me... And my cat are twins, and we came out of my boyfriend's
penis.
Yes.
You have no idea how little I want to date someone after hearing that story.
Oh, it was wonderful times. I love him more because of that.
Cool.
He's going to be like, please, please never speak about me on that podcast again.
Or my penis. Oh, yeah, wait, hold on. How was your Thanksgiving? We haven't talked about it.
Oh, my Thanksgiving? I'm just joking.
Yeah, you went to a white American family Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was pretty norm.
Like,
it was normal.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
No, it was fine. I don't know. It was like any other Thanksgiving. You eat a bunch of food and then you start to be like, I ate too much food. I ate too much food. Sorry, what are you saying to me? My vision's blacking out. Where am I? That kid. I'll play with kid. That's what I did. I played with kids most of the time because I was honestly too full to stand up for most of the day. Like, I just had to sit. And I couldn't really even, like get to a couch in time that I just sat on the ground and the kids brought their toys to me.
Whoa.
So and I played, I built blocks with kids who just yelled in my face. And I was, you know, it was a good time. That's all I needed. And
yeah.
My boyfriend would walk by every few minutes and be like, you're still on the ground? And I'd be like, help. Help.
I went to San Diego and I saw my parents and my uncles and... My uncle.
Your fave unc?
My uncle came down from, he lives on a buffalo farm in Northern California.
There's buffalo in Northern California.
Yeah. He lives on a buffalo farm where they have buffalo milk, buffalo cheese, and buffalo yogurt. And he drove down with his son, who's applying to college right now.
And his son's a buffalo.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Cool.
No, but his son is, they immigrated here 2 years ago, so he finished high school here, but like...
From Iria?
Syria?
Yeah. Whoa.
And so we're trying to get him in. We like helped him with his college essays and like we're trying to get him into a good college. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just be like, I'm a refugee? And
well,
they'll be
technically
like,
they're not. He's not a refugee because we applied for their citizenship 10 years ago.
Nice.
And it kicked in 2 years ago.
So, 8 year wait.
Yeah, exactly. So
wow.
They don't get any of the benefits of like... The citizens that seek asylum.
Is his mom still in Syria?
No, they're in West Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah. Because my uncle who lives on a...
Too good for California.
...buffalo farm.
Huh?
Well, he can only... His place is really small here, so... In California.
Are you telling me Virginia is more expensive than California?
No. I'm telling you his place in Northern California is too small and he can't... His family won't fit there right now. So they're going to wait until he can afford a bigger place and then they're going to come here.
Classic.
Yeah. My mom's parents bought a house in West Virginia because it's so cheap.
Nice.
And they live over there with a couple of my aunts and uncles.
Nice. West Virginia. Country road.
Yeah.
Take me home.
I went over there last spring. It's pretty great. It's very humid. Very humid. Very lush, though, in the summer.
Do they all sing that song? Country road?
I've never heard that song.
What? You have definitely heard that song. West Virginia. Country road, take me home. I don't actually know that. I know those are the lyrics. I don't know if I'm saying them in the right order.
We should make up another song.
Okay.
Well, speaking of white people, I mean, you're...
Oh, I was going to say something.
Okay, what was your... West Virginia country?
No, it wasn't about West Virginia. Oh, okay, so you know how that tax, that really terrible tax bill just passed by Senate? My dad last night on the phone was like, well, you know, at least the housing market will crash, and then I can afford to buy a bunch of homes. What, and I was like, first of all, what did you just say?
Your dad is...
My dad's favorite place to hang out is at, like, foreclosure auctions. I'm not even joking. That's where he gets most of his thrills, is going to auctions of people's homes.
Where people just lose lives and, like, entire homes and... That's
My dad's always at auctions, like, oh, very cheap homes.
Very cheap homes because the people don't... They were kicked out.
Look, what can we do? America, baby. For the rich, only for the rich.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, this tax bill is actually really shady. If you're
an
independent contractor, you're fucked. You cannot expense anything anymore.
Yeah, I am an independent contractor.
California is also fucked because they're getting rid of our state taxes. Yeah. So, speaking of, I just sent money to the IRS before I came here.
Why?
Because they fucking... Yo, maybe I'm hiding how much money I make. I don't know. No, I'm not. But, maybe we shouldn't get into this on public record.
Yeah, maybe not.
No, I don't know. They keep asking for more money, and I keep sending it to them, and I'm starting to think that maybe...
It's a scam.
I'm getting fucked here.
That sounds weird.
No, it's really weird. They asked for like thousand, and then they were like $31, and I just sent them $31, because god damn it, they just wanted to stop. Because everyone was like, just send him the 31 and get it over with. And I'm like, yeah, but 31 now, what's next? $2 next week? I can't afford this. I'm not liquid. I'm about to sell my home that I don't technically own.
What are you talking about?
My apartment. I'm going to sell it. I don't even own it.
What do you mean sell it?
I'm going to convince someone that I own it. I'm going to make a fake pink slip. And I'm going to sell it.
What are you talking about?
And then they'll be confused because my landlord will find out and I'll probably get in trouble.
I don't know.
Well, that's the game.
Anna's life is just a big mystery. It's such a big, big mystery.
I'm the daughter of a man who hangs out at foreclosure auctions, okay?
You are his daughter. The apple tree together.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to get into some Syria?
Yeah, so Anna let me...
I just want to say, there's this video, like an hour documentary on Al Jazeera about the disappeared of Syria, which is people who've gone missing. I watched about 15 minutes before it was a little too graphic for my tastes, so I sent it to Shireen.
Yeah. It's really hard for me to watch stuff like this, but I got through most of it. It's really upsetting but powerful. We'll link it in our links and stuff like that. It's called The Disappeared of Syria. It's a feature on Al Jazeera that happened two weeks ago. And it basically just talks about what Syria has been going through since 2011. So when Syrians first started protesting in the spring of 2011, they were in the streets with like banners and singing songs, and they just wanted this deep desire for freedom because Syria has been ruled by the Assad regime since 1970. But the regime, they silenced the revolution, and it went to civil war and chaos, and without boundaries. Like the government is very corrupt, and so the military uses a bunch of different tactics to suppress any possible uprising to maintain power. And one of these tactics that the documentary goes into is arrest and the forceful disappearance of people by using torture. And it's really disturbing, and it's not for the weak of if you have a weak stomach, but
like me.
But this guy, so it's according to the Syrian Network of Human Rights, more than 65,000 people have vanished in Syria since 2011. And beyond this, over 200,000 people are currently being detained by the Syrian regime.
Where do they even put these people?
For various reasons, these detainees are secretly being held on police or army bases or even in schools or warehouses that have been turned into detention centers.
Naturally.
Throughout the Middle East, the Syrian secret police is notorious for its intelligence gathering techniques and no tolerance towards the opposition. For this reason, high-ranking officers that tend to defect they stay out of the media for their own safety. And one of these officers, his name is Munir El-Hariri, is the former chief of the so-called police security He defected in November 2012, and he's speaking out for the first time in this article. And he's saying, "The most terrible thing in Syria is to be detained. The martyr is dead. May God bless his soul. The wounded, may God heal him. But the detainee dies 100 times a day from the physical and psychological torture inflicted on him."
Oh.
And this is someone that was in the middle of it, that would inflict the torture on other people, and he defected because it was so bad. And he said that the torture techniques that are used by the police, they're extensive, and that there are special schools where the secret police are trained in torture methods. And according to him, the instructors are trained in these techniques in Eastern Europe and Russia.
Those are like the two places I would assume that you would go to train in torture. Like Romania. Ugh.
So, Jesus.
Also, I Hariri, any relation to Mr. Lebanon?
So. I don't think so. I think it's just... Well, Hariri... Yeah. Well, ironically enough, Hariri, I think it's from the word... I think it's... There's a word... Hariri is freedom. So I think it's, like, from that word, maybe. Hariri... I wonder... I'm going to look it up with the translation in a second. But please read this article. It's extreme. If you don't want to watch the video, don't watch it, but at least read this article because it's very informative. One of the people that were detained in March 2006, Rwanda Kanan, she was released after 6 months. Women are not tortured as much as men, she says. But detention, she says, always started with torture. They torture you. They interrogate you. Women are tortured less than men. They're a little more merciful with me. They didn't hang me up. Ugh. But while I was being interrogated, they beat me again and again and again. And they arrested her because they found a press pass on her, and they thought that she worked for Al Jazeera, which is not allowed.
Yeah. Al Jazeera is like the sacred journalists of the Middle East, because they are so hated for just reporting the truth.
Yeah, it's
are these people all afraid? I don't get, like, what is the truth, like, a disease to the Middle East?
I don't know. I think they're just evil people are afraid of being exposed, and Al Jazeera is very good at doing honest journalism. El Hariri, the former chief that defected, he says that they use every torture method and tool available: sticks, whips, the wheel, a German chair that breaks your back. They hang you from a wall and they electrocute you. These tortures are not designed to kill in the act, but this does not mean they don't die afterwards.
Yeah, I could imagine myself dying after being tortured and electrocuted.
Every Syrian knows about the thousands of people illegally detained in their country, but they usually refrain from talking about detainees, which is why they become nothing but numbers. Which is really upsetting, because I still have family in Syria, and they 100% know what goes on in the detention centers. Like, you're aware of it, everyone knew that what was happening in the Holocaust. Like, everyone knew what was happening in the gas chambers and everything, but they just, like, this is just something that you know is happening. And you live in this country where you know people are being tortured and detained illegally, and you can't do anything about it because the government is corrupt and controlling everything.
The Holocaust.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Okay, moving on to bullying, based off the bullying we just talked about.
Yes, so just read the article. It also brings up, and we talked about this several episodes ago, but in 2013, a Syrian military forensic photographer, he dubbed himself Caesar. He defected from the regime, and from that, he smuggled out 55,000 photos that he'd taken of dead detainees since 2011. And we talked about these photographs before, but they talk about it again in this article because he was someone that defected as well. And despite all the evidence over the last few years, the Assad regime continues to deny the facts. And despite all the killings, it still remains in power in Damascus. And the last thing I'll say is that this is a quote from the article by former detainee Tariq Mutermawi. He says that we talk about this as though in the past or just another story, but almost 200,000 people are still living it for real, and the tragedy goes on in the most horrific way.
So, 200,000 people, that's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
That's not even, like...
That's a lot. And they're just numbers. Like, each of those people have families and lives, and they had hopes and dreams, you know. And,
down with ass ad.
Yeah, I hate him. And
Bashar al-Ass.
Sorry for the sad topics, but this is real life. And please read the article and educate everybody and share it if you can. So
yeah, can't wait to hear what notes your dad has on it.
Oh my god.
All right.
I should never have brought this up.
Bullying is popular in the Middle East. So Saudi Arabia is being called a bully because now that they've taken on Qatar, they're now fucking with Lebanon. And so basically there's like allegations. So Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani, who serves as the nation of Qatar's foreign minister, he's accused Saudi Arabia of bullying its neighbors and basically creating all this conflict that can risk destabilizing the Middle East, which, you know, let's not say the Middle East is exactly stable, but
yeah.
Saudi Arabia is not helping with what they're doing. And Lebanon's a fragile country, and for the most part, Qatar is now too. And so I'm not going to get too much further into this because, like I said, I don't want to talk too much about Saudi Arabia in this episode until my fam is back in America. But I am going to pivot over to talk about the Lebanese Prime Minister, Saad Hariri. So he's back. You know how he was, like, missing and they couldn't figure out what he was doing in Saudi Arabia? He was based on our understanding, he was being held against his will in Saudi Arabia and forced to admit that he's resigning. But he came back and he released this statement where he says President Aoun, who is the president of Lebanon, urged me to wait before offering my resignation and to hold on to it for more dialogue about its reasons and political background. And I showed responsiveness. So a bunch of his supporters came through and supported him in Beirut and, you know, basically were like happy that he wasn't officially resigning.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, there's nothing more precious than our country. I am staying with you and I will keep going with you to be the first line of defense of Lebanon, its stability and its Arab nature. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if Saudi Arabia is like super pissed that he's not technically resigning. I don't know how they're going to react.
Yeah. He had been gone for almost 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been missing. And then France and basically, like, France, they made a statement that was like, hey, you can come here if you need to. Like, don't worry. Like, come to us. We will protect you. And so he went to France for a bit, and now he's back in Lebanon. So he's fine.
I wonder if Saudi Arabia is surprised by him saying he won't resign or something. Because maybe he only said that because he was there. Huh.
I don't know. I don't know how Saudi Arabia is going to react to this. He said his own statement is what happened in Saudi stays in Saudi, which I thought was like a really funny statement of like, oh my god, this isn't Vegas, dude.
Yeah.
But he said that the events that unfolded over the past 3 weeks of, excuse me, I'm just burping up gummies, fruit gummies I just ate. The events that unfolded over the past 3 weeks of his time in Saudi Arabia will remain undisclosed, emphasizing that he does not wish to discuss the details of what happened to him during that period, which is fucking
really
creepy.
Really fucking dramatic and shady. What?
So, Hariri said that he wants to bring about a positive shock in the Lebanese people through the announcement of his resignation, stressing that there was no pressure on him to resign from Saudi Arabia. Which is super random, because he announced his resignation on November 4th, like we've said, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, but then deferred
from
on November
hotel.
22nd, when he returned to Lebanon from France. So, oh, I guess he went to Egypt as well, so I guess Al-Sisi maybe was like, chill, dog.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's so
in a televised
strange.
Speech, Hariri blamed interference in Lebanon by Iran and its Lebanese ally, the Hezbollah movement, which Hezbollah runs, is like a part of the Lebanese
Very
government.
Big part, yeah. Even though they're extremists, literally.
Yeah. So basically his reason for resigning was was because of Iran and Hezbollah, and he feared an assassination attempt, which I don't think is really true. I think Saudi Arabia got in his head because Saudi Arabia hates Iran and basically pushed him to say that. course, I don't know if any of this is true. This is me hypothesizing.
Yeah.
Because he's being really weird and quiet about it, and it doesn't, none of it makes sense.
He said what happens in Saudi will stay in Saudi.
That, yeah, that's... which is like, okay, so something happened.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, I just really don't, I really do not want to talk about what happened.
That's what,
it's
you,
like,
that's what you say when you like...
when you're hiding something.
What the shit, dude?
Not only is it what you say when you're hiding something, it's, but it's like you're
it's,
hiding something.
Yeah, it's like not, yeah, it's, there's no question.
Yeah, now it's like we know you're hiding something if you won't talk about it.
When you make that dumb pun. Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, so we were all maybe thought we were speculating a little too much, but now you've definitely
confirmed in your own dumb way that there's something to hide.
Something
here.
Creepy happened to you and you were scared of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Okay, well.
What are you going to do? Moving on from Lebanon to another country that's being bullied by, Saudi Arabia. So Qatar, our favorite little cotty tot, or cater. What did you guys say the American media calls it? Catter? They call it something weird, right?
They call it
cater, cotter?
Yeah, cotter or something.
Cotter, which is like,
yeah. Which is like the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. It's like Qatar.
Yeah. So Qatar, like we've talked about in the past, UAE basically denies this, but definitely hacked 100%. Qatar's website and wrote that thing about like Iran. So that turned Saudi Arabia against them and all the other countries to like create those blockades and fuck them over really hard. And, they're, you know, UAE is still denying it, but like, you know, like CIA and FBI came out and were like, yeah, no, that definitely happened. And Qatar has accused UAE of violating international law with that hacking. So, oh, sorry. According to the Washington Post, on like Sunday of last week, they claimed that government officials in Abu Dhabi orchestrated the planting of a fabricated story in Qatari media on May 24th that contributed to the current political spat in the region. So UAE, who's like mad at them for posting this on their website, are the people that totally did this to create a problem. And now we're going to break down why everyone is going against Qatar. And it's not what you think.
It's not what you think. It's something even pettier than that.
Yeah, it's the pettiest. It's because Qatar has the 2022 World Cup. Because they won the bid. So all these Middle Eastern pieces of shit.
They're just jealous.
This is a quote from The Independent. It was jealous that the biggest sporting show on earth was going to be hosted by an Arab rival. So it, and by it, I mean the Saudi-led alliance that launched the blockade of Qatar for 4 months. It manufactured a crisis as a pretext for demanding the whole thing to be called off. So basically, by putting up these blockades, they're being like, well, Qatar doesn't have anything. They can't even bring anything in. There's a blockade because they support terrorism. Yeah. So they can't clearly have the World Cup. So,
and that's so fucking petty, man. Like, yeah, why can't we all just come together, like Arab country, just like be a full family?
I don't give a shit. They're all fucking petty. So according to The Independent, any crisis threatening the World Cup has been caused by 4 countries, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt, for cutting off all trade and diplomatic links with Qatar. So one way could make the tournament secure would be for this alliance to call off its boycott, which it won't do because for some reason you can't keep politics out of soccer in the Middle East. I don't know. It's really weird. But
and it's actually, it says that the UAE, not Saudi Arabia, is the driving force behind the operation.
Right, because UAE hacked Qatar.
Yeah.
Because UAE is a bunch of petty ass little bitches. It's like, you have Dubai. What else do you want? Yeah. You have Dubai.
You
have the trashiest Middle Eastern rap city, and I call it that because
the Vegas of the Middle East.
Yeah. It's like, well, I believe Billy Wayne Davis has a joke that it's if you let a rapper design a city, is what
that's
Dubai
really
is.
Funny, actually,
that's what you have.
Yeah, it says the UAE and Qatar have vied for each other for years in the constant battle of one upmanship.
Sure.
They keep trying to one-up each other for the influence in the region.
Right.
And, so...
One-upmanship.
One-upmanship, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, so basically, like, they're going back and forth, like, I'm better than you. It's like, no, I'm better than you. And then UAE was like, yeah, we're totally going to pull off this hack. And then, like, no.
Yeah.
So then their emails leaked.
Yeah, and both countries had competed to be the one opening a Taliban office so they can be the biggest players in the region when it came to the peace talks with the U.S. And as it turned out, Obama chose Qatar. And now the UAE calls the presence of the Taliban office in Doha as proof of the Qatar support of terrorism, right. Even though they wanted one.
Yeah, they wanted a Taliban. Yeah. Honestly, I'm about to open a Taliban office.
But isn't that funny?
I'm getting the World
Cup.
Like,
they were like competing to open this Taliban office to
UAE
be the U.S.'s place.
The definition of a petty ass bitch.
God.
Like, oh, that's so interesting. Now you a terrorist.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Obama chose this as a place.
Yeah. This, God. How insane
is that?
You're just
jealous you weren't chosen. So stupid.
Yeah. It's like, anyway, U.S. intelligence sources have confirmed that UAE has hacked the Qatar news agency to fuck everything up. And it was confirmed by Lieutenant General Dahi Khalfan, who's head of Dubai security for the UAE, when he tweeted, "If the World Cup leaves Qatar, the crisis will go away because the crisis is created to break it." That's a motherfucking general up on Twitter right now, like just straight up confirming shady facts about UAE.
Because of soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer will
do this. I want a Vuvuzela. I want a Vuvuzela. It's like, you don't get a Vuvuzela. You get a Taliban office. None of this makes sense. What am I even talking about?
Like, what the actual shit?
What if I just passed out right now? Just like couldn't handle the pettiness.
That is the pettiest fucking. Like, that's what happens with when Middle Eastern men and soccer and just with power. Soccer, power, Middle Eastern men, recipe for disaster.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you what, UAE. FIFA is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world. Maybe you should just bribe them more. You could have had it.
Yeah.
It's not on us, Qatar. Put more bribes in. Like, it's that easy. You could have just done it. I'm gonna tell you right now, if I transferred half my money over, I could literally host it in my backyard. I could host the, I don't have a backyard, but I could probably get the World Cup in LA.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too hard. You just have to pay FIFA. Like, literally, FIFA has no qualms over any country. They're just like, checkbook, open it up, tell me where you want it. That's it. It's that easy, UAE.
Yeah.
Stop being so petty.
And Qatar clearly also believes it's all about the World Cup, and they said so in a statement yesterday my thing just went away.
Well, Cornerstone Global says that given the current political situation, it is certainly possible that the tournament will not be held in Qatar. So.
Yeah. But Qatar yesterday said that the demands to be stripped of the tournament were found, quote unquote, in petty jealousy and not real concerns. And it said the World Cup, like our sovereignty, is not up for discussion or negotiation.
Right. So I think if they went along with all their demands, like whatever, shut down Al Jazeera, blah, 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 shit on my face, whatever else they want, creepy shit.
Also, by the way, the World Cup is in 5 years.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Pettiness takes years. Like, if you really want to get down and dirty and ruin someone's life, you have to start 15 years early. Like, you gotta start planting seeds that destroy
them.
That's
so upsetting, man.
Like, that's like, when I met you in college, like, I started slowly, was like, I'm going to ruin Shireen's life. And it took until, like, now, like, 10 years later, for me to finally be like, oh, and that's right, I'm the person that, I don't know, burned your house down to start the eventual downfall of Shireen. That's very convoluted. I don't know what I'm talking about. But like,
I know what you mean.
The point is, I would have had to start years ago to slowly take down the Shireen country. The country of Shireen.
Wow.
Ghanem Nusaiba, a visiting fellow at King's College London, claimed that Qatar posed a bigger risk than either Al-Qaeda or ISIS, as well as expressing support for the Saudi blockade.
That's so dramatic.
Yeah, so I don't even know, like, all these, like, Cornerstone Global, which is, like, this, like, what are they? They're, like, a management consultancy firm who, they're basically like super anti-Qatar, so they're the ones like out here being like Qatar is this, Qatar is that, like basically encouraging like what UAE and Saudi Arabia are doing with this blockade to just get in the minds of people to like kind of hide the fact that this is all over literally a soccer game. And that like Qatar is like this huge like supporter of terrorism and all that. And none of it, it honestly doesn't make any sense. Because Qatar has Al Jazeera, which is like a true news statement station. They, sorry, my nose is starting to run like crazy. This is what happens when pettiness comes
pettiness
to reality
overcomes
and my nose
us.
Just starts running. They're doing all, so basically like Saudi Arabia and UAE has like team of people out here like trying to shade Qatar at any level possible. And they say like Al Jazeera are reporters as state employees with no journalistic ethics. They're like, why are they even working? Like, the truth will not set you free. Like, that's basically what they're saying. Like, they're just out here being, and you're like, oh, fuck off. I read Al Jazeera. I know y'all trash.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so
speaking of Al Jazeera, though,
they want them to Qatar to stop cozying up to Iran and to end like their support of extremism, which like Qatar has like been like, we're not doing anything, we're not supporting terrorism, like stop it. Yeah, but Qatar has like money, so they're like not going to give into this. They're like, y'all just like, the only thing that will make them happy is if they, I don't know, give up the World Cup, which they're not going to do, and they're not going to shut down Al Jazeera. Yeah,
yeah, they said it's non-negotiable, just like their sovereignty of the fucking country. So it's like they're putting it in that high regard.
Yeah,
they're not budging on this. So
yeah, they're not going to do anything. And I mean, I think like their biggest connection is that they share a natural gas field with Iran, and they would like send like ambassadors over there. Which is, like, not a big deal. It doesn't mean they're supporting terrorism. And, like, all these other countries being so fucking freaked out by Iran, it's like, grow some balls. Iran's not doing anything at this point. I mean, they have their own issues.
Yeah.
But, like, ugh. Yeah. Iran's not out here trying to destroy other countries over a soccer game. Like, they literally are like, yeah, have it. Do what you need to do. We love soccer.
Yeah.
Great.
We'll love
cool.
it.
Yeah, cool. Maybe we'll come visit. Like, chill the fuck out.
Speaking of Al Jazeera, though, do you want to get into this, Netanyahu bullshit?
Wait, one last quote. Qatar clearly also believes it's all about the World Cup. Did you read this already?
I think I did.
Okay, yeah. I just love it. As shown by a statement yesterday, when it demands by the quartet for it to be stripped of the tournament, we're founded on petty jealousy, not real concerns. But my favorite part about this is petty jealousy in this quote is, it's linked.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's linked. And
what?
I'll tell you. Yeah, so it links to this article called Qatar Hits Back at Attempt to Take 2022 World Cup Away by Blaming Concerns on Petty Jealousy, which just basically goes into more about this.
Yeah.
This, like, I don't know, I just think petty jealousy is such a funny phrase to come out of the Middle East, being like, you petty.
Yeah.
You're just being petty.
We are petty as fuck.
They petty. I don't know what they talking about, but they petty. But it's like, yeah, like, this is all this, like, inhumane shit that they're doing where, like, people can't eat and, like, prices on food are rising because there's no way of bringing it out from, or in from another country. Like, killing people over a soccer game.
Soccer game.
Yeah.
Because Middle Eastern people love football.
Good times.
Good times in the Middle
So,
East.
Speaking of more petty bitches, let's talk about Mr. Netanyahu.
Netanyahu.
Benjamin. You may know him from the country of Israel. He has doubled down on limiting the freedoms of Al Jazeera reporters after an announcement from the country's communication minister, Ayub Kara, last month that the authorities intended to revoke the press credentials of all Al Jazeera journalists.
Wow.
Yes.
I wonder why they would do that.
So they already shut down the offices. So now you can't even come into Israel and, like, talk. So,
Mr. Kara said that Al Jazeera was being used to, quote-unquote, incite violence in Israel and the Palestinian territories, a claim strongly denied by the network, of course.
And by that, they basically mean, like, stop reporting the truth.
Yeah.
You're causing people problems because you're telling them what's happening for real. And it's
telling
just
them
like,
what we're actually doing, which is taking over this country
it's
we have no right over.
It's not good.
Our illegal settlements are illegal, but you can't say it out loud.
Technically, international law says settlements on countries and land that aren't your own is technically not okay, but you know what? You're the problem. Like, oh. And then Al Jazeera's out here being like, no, we ain't.
Yeah.
They literally responded like, no. Like, boy, bye. That should literally be their statement back. Like, first of all, yeah. You stupid.
Well, apparently, officials from Israel's foreign ministry, they warned that shuttering or sanctioning Al Jazeera would greatly damage Israel's image abroad. Which it does. It makes it look shady as fuck.
Yeah, which one it is, though.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't do a bunch of shady stuff and then be upset when that shady stuff comes to light.
And this decision was also blasted by the Israel Union of Journalists, and they called it an intolerable move in a democracy.
Yeah.
So there are people
it's
there.
It's not like, a democracy.
No, it's not, because there are actual, like, intelligent Israelis that understand that blocking a reputable news source is wrong, because you can't just have one side of the news. Like, you can't just like have a biased fountain of news that only tells people what you want it to hear. That's not fucking news. That's not democracy. And it makes me mad.
Yeah, and so both Netanyahu and Mr. Kara, do we say who Mr. Kara was?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's country's communication minister.
Right. They've continued to publicly push for measures to be taken against Al Jazeera and its journalist. And after a hearing, the government press office decides, against revoking the accreditation of Arab Israeli correspondent who called his work part of Palestinian resistance against the occupation in an interview with the Muslim Brotherhood friendly news channel.
What?
So.
That's some bullshit!
I don't even get it.
That's some bullshit.
I don't get, like... I don't understand, like... It's nothing to do, again, about Judaism, okay? This is about weird Netanyahu and his, like, need to, like, destroy Palestine and then be upset if anything ever comes out about the fact that he's destroying Palestine.
The Israel Union of Journalists and the Israel Foreign Ministry, the officials from the Israel Foreign Ministry, they're all against shutting down Al Jazeera. Like, there are official Israeli people that understand that shutting Al Jazeera down is not okay. It's not democratic. So it's not an anti-Semitic thing. It's not an anti-Israel thing. It's an Netanyahu and his Hall of his policy thing, because he only wants good things to come out that Israel is doing. And the fact is, Israel is not doing good things. So
yeah. So what do they think is going to happen?
Yeah.
I don't get that. Like, I don't get people who like Republicans who just live in like full like clouds of delusion.
No, they're like, oh, climate change isn't real.
Or like, I don't.
Oh, Trump! Oh, that
here?
Wasn't me on the Access Hollywood tape. It's like, it was you. You said it was locker room talk. Like, you
also,
can't...
you already apologized for it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what world do you live in where like you can just alter reality? You can't do that. You can't alter reality by only having one side of the news. You just can't.
Yeah, I don't know. IDK, you all crazy.
This made my day a little bit better when I read about it yesterday, because it's hilarious. This is a 300-year-old note was found inside of the butt of a Jesus statue.
Yes, Shireen sent me this New York Post article, which I was like, New York Post, honey, get a life.
It made me happy, and it made me realize how... restorers of an 18th century statue of Jesus Christ in Spain, they found a handwritten note hidden up in his butt. The message was written carefully in calligraphy and dating back to 1777. It had been stuffed up there by a priest, preserving it like a time capsule. It contains key information about the period and details on popular pastimes, the economic situation, political and religious matters, famous people, and other topics.
And he predicted 9/11. Just put it as like, and two towers of great significance will be brought down by a country that has Saudi Arabia in its name. I don't know why I'm saying Saudi Arabia. Maybe it's a coincidence. It just happens. I don't know. It's weird that they're not in the travel ban, right? Whoa, how did he know that? What if I really said that?
That would be amazing.
He's like, and isn't it interesting they're not on the travel ban? Like, wait, what? He knows everything.
But it was a document that's carefully handwritten on both sides of two pages. And they removed a piece of fabric that was used to cover the
butthole
bum, basically.
Just say butthole.
His butthole. It exposed a small gap. But a local historian, Efren Arroyo, he was overwhelmed with the discovery. And it goes on, it talks about how, according to experts, all of his references indicate the priest at the time, his intention was to make one of the most early time capsules ever left behind for future generations to discover. So thank you for letting us discover this message in the butthole of Jesus Christ, just in time for Christmas, you know?
Just in time for Christmas. Jesus' butthole.
Not all news is sad. Some news is hilarious.
Some news is in someone's butthole.
Yeah.
Who knew? Message in a bottle, more like message in a...
in a butt.
Hole.
Oh.
Yeah, I sent my butthole out to see, hoping someone would find the message in it.
I'm a message in a butthole.
No, baby. Yeah.
Gotta rub me the right way. Oh!
Whoa!
And then we died. And then we passed.
My head just burst into just smooth.
Oh, man.
How's that for personal?
How's that for personal? No. I wanted to talk about this a couple weeks ago, but we ran out of time. But this happened a couple weeks ago. An anti-LGBT conference in Fort Worth began with David Pickup. David Pickup is a California ex-gay therapist who...
yep, that's all you need to know.
He was run out of California when they made practicing... discredited therapies illegal for licensed therapists. So,
that's right. You cannot pretend that you can make people not gay.
Exactly.
That's not okay.
So he moved to Texas where he's taking people's
money. Can make people not gay.
Exactly.
Legally.
He takes people's money to turn gays and lesbians into, what he thinks is straight.
His idea of straight, which is just closeted.
He starts off the anti-LGBT conference, and literally, he's dancing with a rainbow flag, and it's a beautiful,
you know, his opening of this anti-gay thing is the most beautiful rainbow flag dance I've ever seen, which is like, dude,
it's a rainbow flag interpretive dance. He's not wearing shoes. He takes off his shoes. He's wearing socks as he's prancing around the stage. I highly encourage everyone out there to please watch this video. It made my life complete. I'm just imagining all these homophobes watching him around.
I can't explain. I'm going to try and explain my reaction, but it's the Nick Young confused faced meme. Yeah. This is what I was like when I saw the video. I don't know if you Google Nick Young confused faced meme. I was just like, what?
Yep.
Like, that means you gay. Like, I don't know what you're trying to hide here.
Yeah. So,
I remember someone showed me that video at work and I was like, was this a pride thing? They're like, no, this is an anti-gay thing. And I was like, oh, so he's gay, right?
Yeah, he's an ex-gay according to him.
And my favorite thing is the note you made, not wearing shoes, which is like, that finalizes it.
I feel like it's the true meaning of dance, like no one's watching. Yeah. When really everyone is watching that you think is also not gay.
I really hope like gay pride promoters or people get that flag and all do that dance.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, because it's actually quite
beautiful.
It's very
prideful.
Yeah.
It's so incredibly
prideful.
Amazing. Yeah. Please watch this video. It'll make you feel better about the world, even if it's meant to be serious. I hope David Pickup will one day realize he is very gay.
I like this. I hope one day you see how gay you are. And actually just admit it instead of hiding and pretending you're a therapist to make people not gay. Because that flag is beautiful, honey, and you need to raise it high.
Raise it high.
That's the funniest thing. I hope one day he realizes he's gay.
Yeah, because he did at one point. And then he changed his mind when someone got in his head. But he just wants head.
When God got in his head while giving him head.
Oh. That's weird.
Have you ever been blown by God? Have you ever been blown by Jesus?
His butthole has.
I want to be like a problematic, those like TV shows where they have like the pastor like yelling and stuff, and it's like a church congregation, but it's like televised.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to make like a really problematic one where I'm just like, have you ever been blown by Jesus?
Everyone's like,
seen the light by Jesus? Oh, Jesus, his mouth on my cock, making me see the true spirit for what it was.
Oh,
boy, did I come, Lord! Boy, did I come, Lord!
All right.
me. Bless me, for I have come in your eye.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
That's a great note to end on. I love that.
Okay. Guys, this is a short episode because I can't sit in this seat any longer.
It's not that short. It's an average size episode.
Well, we usually do two to three hours and then we cut it down.
You can't tell them that.
Okay. So on a normal day, we record 5 hours.
We record from day to night. We watch the sunset.
And when we leave, we handcuff Matt to the desk.
Yeah.
And then he only is allowed to leave when we come back to record again.
A week later,
3-second bathroom break. So most of the time, it's him peeing while walking to the restroom.
He's been having a UTI. Yeah. Very bad UTI.
Yeah. And you know what? All I do is spray him with Febreze.
Yeah. That's all he needs.
You smelly fucked.
That's all he needs.
Only two.
Yeah.
And then we wear masks. With little air holes so we can speak through them. Are we painting a clear enough picture for how it goes down here?
If you didn't know, we're petty.
We are petty jealousy.
That's the title. Yeah. You heard it here first. We are petty jealousy.
Yeah, so you can bite that ass?
I bite that ass.
Dankeschön.